So this is a share of Revolbi, but we're going to take a little detour because Revolbi brings the Arba Yesodos, the four foundations, and this place he brings from Reb Chaim Vital in Shari Kedusha, right? And there in this Sefer, he explains the Arba Yesodos. You don't have it, but the four Arba Yesodos I'm going to explain. Now this is related to ask things that are talked about in psychology, but they explain it in different terminologies. I'll explain both, and we'll explain, but this is the lower part of man. This is man's, the Arba Yesodos is in the lower part of man, it's in his nefesh. This is speaking about man's physical self, man's spiritual physical self, the nefesh. Remember, we have five levels of neshama. We have nefesh, which is man's physicality, expresses man's physicality. His mind is also expressed from his nefesh. Everyone has nefesh. Even animals have nefesh, they have a lower form of nefesh, right? Man has a man nefesh, right? An elephant has an elephant nefesh, right? Ruach, pashtus man have, goyim also have ruach. That's spirit, that's the lave, that's where our emotions are, right? Okay, then there's what's called neshama, that's the spiritual self of man, the beginning of spirituality, right? Goyim don't have that level of neshama. They can reach it, because they have seven mitzvahs b'nei noach, so they can reach part of it, but they don't really have neshama. In order for them to have neshama, they have to do an action to get it. Like, even we don't have neshama. If you're not doing mitzvahs, if you're a yid, not doing Torah mitzvahs, say you're doing averis, those averis associated with your neshama, that neshama gets removed from you. So you don't blemish it. So even a Jew who's not frum will, in a certain sense, look, in terms of what he has with him, like a goy, because he doesn't have those mitzvahs which are associated with neshama. And a frum goy, in a certain sense, will be on a higher level than a non-frum Jew, because he does have those aspects, some aspect of ruach and some aspect of neshama associated with those mitzvahs. Understand? So it's not just a goy, in order to reach a higher level of neshama, he has to take on Judaism. It's very simple. He takes on the mitzvahs, in the kabbal mitzvahs, the toivos and the mikvah, he's finished, he's a yid. So we're not saying that a goy is less than a Jew, we're just saying that in where he is, right, in terms of where he can get to, he can only get to a certain level. A Jew can also get to a higher level. Doesn't mean he's living with that higher level. When a Jew is doing Torah mitzvahs, then he brings that neshama into him. Otherwise, the neshama is surrounding him, right? Whereas a goy doesn't have that neshama which is surrounding him, right? And there is enough kamina, because the malachim, the angels that we have that protect us, that's our soul which surrounds us. That's called the makiv. Like they say in goyim also have it, but on a lower level, right? Because they have less mitzvahs, right? But a Jew has it on a higher level. We have more protection. But again, it depends. If we're keeping Torah mitzvahs, if you're keeping Torah, right? If you're learning Torah, so then it says, Talmid Chachamim don't need protection, because the Torah protects them, right? So it depends what level you are in terms of your level of protection. And this is what in Chazal it's called Chashmal. This is the your neshama which surrounds you. This is your makif. And in the goyim, they call it the hila or something like that. Like your hila, you have the, you feel, I don't know how you call it. That's how they call it. You have higher levels of soul, which is your chaya. That's your chokhmah. A chokhmah, the person's wisdom. Mechayed balea. Your source of chayim comes from your chokhmah. That's the shorish. When you connect to the chokhmah elyona, which is Torah, that's the shorish of your chayim. You with me? Of your life. Now, there's something called yechida, which a person, we only get that sometimes. Mincha Shabbos, Yom Kippur, and it depends what level of Yechida we're talking about. That means unity, oneness, when a person feels at one with his Creator. So any time when a person feels that unity with his Creator, that full unity and negation of self, which is supposed to happen on Mincha and Shabbos and Surah Shlishis, and the different, in the physical, the more physical and the what's called the outer parutzuf. There's an inner parutzuf, there's an outer parutzuf. All our physical actions are associated with the outer parutzuf, our outer self. Mitzvahs, which are associated with thinking or with dibur, with speech, is more associated with the inner self, right? Okay. That's basically it. Now, within that, where are these Arba Yesodos? These Arba Yesodos are in our nefesh, right? So the Goyim speak about these things. There's a book by William Glass, I think. So, but I think its source is earlier than him. He just made it popular, which speaks about like needs, the five needs. Right, I'm going to explain his words, I'm going to explain Chazal, and I'm going to tell you why they're similar, right? But his psychology, this psychology of his, is not Chazal psychology. He talks about needs, and he talks about how you can get those needs. We don't talk like that. It's a different psychology. But I'm going to explain to you the four, these four aspects of soul in your nefesh, and then we'll explain the psychology of the higher levels of soul. Okay. So the first one is called Afa, right? Afa is land. You grow things, right? You have land to stand on, right? If you didn't, if you can't survive in the sea, you can't survive, or if you have land which is wavy, right? Right? I'm going to explain it. Now, it doesn't mean, actually, if you were living in a place which was, you know, like moving all the time, you'd be very, very nervous. Remember, in Chumash, Cain, one of the clauses, wherever he walked, the land like earthquaked under him. It wasn't stable. Because really, Cain, after he did that Avera, he didn't have Kiyum. He shouldn't really have been there. He should have been killed. Kadosh Baruch Hu had to protect him by putting his art on his forehead to protect him from the animals. And the land underneath him was, and when people saw him, they would run away from him because they were frightened. Under him, near him, there was no Kiyum. Right? You with me? That's also a sign that Ra doesn't have Kiyum in the world. It's not really supposed to be in the world. It doesn't have Kiyum. Right? Okay, because from Kain came all the Ra. Okay. So land represents Kiyum, establishment, survival. This is the, I'm using the word now of William Glaser. It's something you stand on. Now, a child, if he's brought up at an early stage, the first thing a child has is survival. The first thing, every child when he's born, he has an instinct to survive. You with me? He wants to drink from his mother's milk. If his mother doesn't give him, he'll cry, right? He has an instinct to survive. That's the first need of a child. Now, as the child goes up, those survival needs become like slightly different, right? But they're all survival needs. Now, that's called, this is the Yesod Alpha. Yesod Alpha is his survival needs, right? This gives him his cue. If the house he was brought up in is unstable, say the parents arguing or whatever, the child will be, the ground that he's standing on will be uncertain. So his emotional needs, emotionally he'll be unstable, he'll be insecure. And that causes insecurity by a child, right? Or where was he born from? He was born from his mother, right? The survival, right? Who looks after him when he's a child? Who feeds him? Who's thing? So his connection with his mother is the place where he gets those survival needs. If the connection with the mother is no good, right, then he'll be insecure about his survival needs, and therefore, like, for example, people, or if they didn't have food, people who come from a poor family, it's a simple thing, people from a poor family, people who came from the Holocaust, or people who were very, very poor, right? So you will find that they have very high survival needs. So what happens? So the husband and the wife who came from this place, they didn't have food, they didn't know if they were getting food that day, whatever it was. So when they get married, they will make sure their fridge is full of food. And they will make sure there's not only enough food for the day, there's enough food for the month. Because they need to be secure. Or anyone who's these high survival needs will need to make sure that he not only has a good job, but he needs to stash away money for a rainy day. You understand? Since Jews came from the Holocaust and we came from places of persecution, and like, you know, I'm not saying your generation, but the father's generation and stuff like that, or previous generations, they were insecure. And Jews are very, you know, they're always worried. So Jews are usually very high in survival. But it depends. Sometimes, you know, you come from a nice middle-class American family, and there's plenty, when you were born, there's plenty of food, there's plenty of stuff, all sorts of stuff, so you won't be high in survival. You get a little bit of your parents' genes, that we have to explain. What do your parents give? I'm jumping now. Your parents give you what's called your levushim. The Arizal says this. Your levushim means your garments in which your soul is placed, right? Your levushim is like a masach, like a, how you say, a filter, right? So you have what's called spiritual genes from your parents through which your neshama expresses. Just as you look physically like your parents, you look spiritually like them. You have similar character traits that you gain from them. So if your mother's a little nervous, you were brought up in a nervous house, you'll have a little bit of nervousness. You understand? Just those sort of things.
Garments.
Your mother's, not her neshama, your mother's how she is, her garment, her... It can come from your mother's neshama because how she expresses that neshama. But, and it's not only your mother, it's your mother and your father. The Gemara, it's a Gemara in Kiddushin that certain things you get from your mother and certain things you get from your father. But that gives you your levush. And that's why you're chayav in Kibud Av V'Em, says the Arizal, because you got this levush from your parents. Your neshama comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Your neshama isn't necessarily the same as the neshama of your parents. But your parents do cause you having that neshama. What do I mean by that? If two parents love each other very dearly, right? They will have, says the Gemara, beautiful children who are wise. That means they will have a high level neshama. That means the neshama that the parents have might be lower. But because they love each other very dearly, the children can have a very high level neshama. It doesn't always, right? And if chas v'shalom, the parents don't, even if the parents have a high level neshama, the children will have a low level neshama. That's what the Gemara in Nedarim says. There's teisha midos. There's nine aspects the Gemara speaks about, nine aspects of improper connection of husband and wife. One example is, if you're thinking about another woman when you're connecting with your wife, so that's not a real connection. So that brings a child into the world who's not properly connected to his creator. The connection between husband and wife and the love between husband and wife gives a neshama which is connected to its creator. That's a high level neshama. If the connection between a husband and wife is a disconnect, then there'll be a disconnect between that neshama and its creator, reciprocal to the connection between husband and wife. What I say is, it's not so easy, even if you see parents who are arguing or thinking out, but when you were born, when the child was born, it could be that moment of connection, they were connected. It's on the moment of connection, not on the whole time. If on the moment of connection they love each other and they care for each other, on that moment, right, then the child that is born will be connected. So even if afterwards, like 10 years down the road, the parents are arguing, right? Say at the day of their marriage, the child was born, or a few days after they were married, or a month after marriage, the child was born, or a year, when the parents were still loving and caring, the child, since the parents were connected at that time of conception, the child will be connected with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You with me? You have to also understand, Torah has the ability to take a broken vessel and to fix it, and a not clean vessel and to clean it. But Moshe has a tshuva that even children, speaks about Bali tshuva, even children who were born from a relationship of a nida. Nida means that the mother didn't go to the mikveh. So he says, since these people did tshuva, it could be the mother went to a swimming pool, or the sea, or something that happened with them, right? And even according to some days, if the bathtub's big enough, you know, like a big jacuzzi there, there's certain days that if it's avim sa, which is not much, then just going for, you know, dunking completely in that sort of thing, many Rishonim hold that midoraisa, that's good. So the Ramosha says, since they came tachat kanfei hashchina, and they're learning Torah, the Torah fixes them. So Torah can fix anything. Torah can take a broken vessel, make it a complete vessel. Torah can take a unclean vessel and clean it up. That's the koach of Torah. Because what I'm talking about the tchunot of a person based on what? Based on what he was given. I.e., it's in a certain sense based on the mazalot and based on his parents, right? But since Klal Yisrael, the Shefa comes lemala min ha-mazalot, it means, and lemala min to connect above the mazalot, a person, right, connects there through Torah, right? If a person connects there, it's a different ball game. What we're speaking about are things that are innate to a person, right? Mitzad the teva, mitzad the physical, not the the physical aspects of the spiritual world, i.e., you understand the zodiacs and stuff like that. But a Jew, if he connects to the higher level of persona through Torah, can change all of that. With me? Make sense to you?
Cancel.
So now let's go back to Alpha. So this concept of Alpha is basically your survival needs. Rav Chaim Vital says that every one of these midas, since it's in your nefesh, the nefesh is the place of sin. Like what Chazal says, nefesh ki techeta, the nefesh that sinned. Doesn't say your higher levels of soul don't sin. If when the person comes to doing a sin, his higher levels of soul leave him in order not to damage them, not to blemish them, so they leave him. And he's left with his nefesh. Your nefesh though gets blemished. You with me? Okay. So this place of nefesh, where we have these four foundations, this is a place where you have the good and bad of these foundations. So what's the good and the bad of Yisod HaAfa? So the bad of Afa, right, is laziness, right? Atzlus, but atzvus, and depression, feeling bad, feeling not good, not happy. The opposite of that is simcha. So simcha is a tikkun of midas ha'afa. Simcha, that's why Revolvi brings it up. Simcha is the fixing of midas ha'afa. You with me? Okay. How does it explain? So according to this, since simcha is that fixing, right? So that explains atzvus, like being sad or depressed. So you can understand how simcha is against that. But how, what's against atzlus? That's zrizus. It's being, how you say in, is zrizus in English?
Vigilant.
Alacric. How you say it?
Alacrity.
Alacrity, yeah. Okay. So that's called zrizus. It's easier Hebrew. That's called zrizus, right? So if that's called zrizus, it seems then, according to this, that when a person's with simcha, he's going to have this zrizus. He's not going to be lazy. And that's true. When a person's happy with life, you can see he's going to be running around doing things. People who are depressed are usually very lethargic. So the avoda in the midah of alpha, if you're high in survival, right, what does that mean? It means you look after your finances. You need the ground that you stand on, whatever that ground is, right? Like the Gemara says, by Avraham Avinu, right? Rashi goes to Chumash, that when he bought the sadeh, the field, from Ephron, had tkuma, he lifted it up, right? The ground that you buy, the land that you buy, gives you kiyum. It's your kiyum, right? That's your survival needs, i.e. your mammon is your kiyum. Your financial state is your kiyum. So a person who needs to be secure in his financial state. What else is his survival need? Right? Gives you kiyum. His health, right? All those things that in the physical, that give you things that you need to be established on in the physical world, is your survival needs, right? There's other survival needs. To procreate is a survival need, right? So the need to procreate, it's a survival need. You understand? That's also to give kiyum, right? A human being can't last by himself. In order to have kiyum, he has to have children, have a family, have a wife. The need for that is a need for kiyum, right? And we see from Revolvi that the only time a person has simcha is with a wife. And the maisa simcha is the connection of a husband and a wife, right? So it fits with the Chazal. The opposite of simcha is, what's the opposite of simcha we've been explaining? Disconnect. Any disconnect, any improper expression of self is disconnect. That brings atzvus. And why does it bring atzvus? Because when a person is disconnecting, not expressing himself in a proper way, so that causes atzvus. And also it causes lethargy. He doesn't want to do things. Because nothing really is meaningful for him. He gives up hope of things. That comes from atzvus. So from atzvus comes atzlus. You with me? And that's the midah against that is simcha. Okay? Now, I'll explain to you why people make a very big mistake with this concept of this risoda alpha. People who have high survival needs are looking for simcha. Right? Most people in the world have these high survival needs. Most people come from broken homes or problematic families and stuff like that. So most people will have these survival needs, or they're poor, whatever it is, there's reasons for the survival needs. But a lot of people have these big survival needs. So if you have these survival needs, what do you want to do? You want simcha, you want joy. Because you, by teva, have atzlus, laziness, and atzvus. So what happens? You want anything which will give you some sort of simcha. So you're looking for instant pleasures. And instant pleasures, unfortunately, what they do, right, is, or improper connections, easy connections, it gives you simcha for the moment. What happens is you have the joy for the moment, and when that moment passes, you go back to the atzvus. And if anything, it makes the atzvus worse, because you're improperly connecting. And then your atzvus is worse, you're not into life, you're not thinking, and slowly you get into depression, or all the time you'll be needy for these instant pleasures, right? So that's what happens. I'm sure it happens. I don't know, I never did a statistic in college, but I can imagine that in college life there's a lot of people who get depressed, and they, because they continue with this, like, looking for their needs, right, and the inexpression or not proper expression, and maybe in college they can get this, like, they can eat the cake all the time, right? But when they leave college and they can't get those needs anymore, then they have a big depression. When a person has atzvus, the best thing for a person to do is, now, people who are sad need some sort of, like, physical pleasures to get them out of there, like, so you might find they eat a lot, or they eat tasty things, right? So that's good, but it's not going to help. They need something like put them out of that depression for a second, and then. But the only real way is to do chesed, to do proper. Chesed means proper expression, proper giving of self. The way to get out of that is through simcha. Simcha means to express yourself in a proper way, to give to other people. So that's the way to get out of atzus. You understand? And atzus is through simcha. Simcha means proper expression of self in a giving way to another person or to your creator, whoever it is, but a giving of self. That's the way you get out of atzus. All depression, the Rambam says, when a person, right, has an issue, like he causes himself to, or he disconnects to people in an improper way, it's disconnection, that's going to take, says the Rambam, mi'or enav, from the light of his eyes, and it's going to cause him to be atzev, to be depressed, because that's improper expression. Just as it is in the lower form of self, so it is in any aspect of self, when a person's improperly expressing himself, i.e. does averas, then a person will have atzvus. You with me? So the way to get out of that is do mitzvahs, to properly express oneself and properly give of oneself. When a person properly expresses himself, so he'll be with simcha. When people who are with simcha are very, always on the move, always doing, they take things easy, right? They're happy, they don't get hurt so much. They're light-headed in a certain sense. You know, they're content within themselves. Since you have that level of being content, it doesn't bother you what happens around. That, within limit, right? You know, chas v'shalom, even if a person's besimcha, lo aleinu, loses someone close to him, he won't be happy about that. It'll cause him sadness. You're supposed to be sad. Yeah? It's limited. Avelis is 7 days, 30 days, a year. That's finished. You know, Avelis is the time of sadness. It's called Mesechet Smachot Avelis, because it's a Saki Naho. For the person who died, he's gone to a better world, a world of full expression of his soul. So that's why it's Simcha. For us, it's Avel. Avel means Bat. But if he was here, I'd be connected with him, I could be expressed. Now I can't. You understand? That's the Avelis. So Avelis is a form of atzvus. But if you understand it a little bit more, it explains also why that's atzvus. Because You're an ovel on the fact that this person's dead. What does dead mean? Dead means he's not expressing anymore in the world. So if anything, any part of self dies, is non-expressive, there's an availus associated with that. If you're not using your limbs properly, if you're not using your mind properly, if you're not using aspects of self properly, that part of self died. Spiritually, there's an availus there. That availus is an internal availus. That's why, when are we an ovel? We're an ovel on Tisha B'Av. Because what do we have? We don't have base amygdala. We don't have proper expression. What does it mean you don't have proper expression? Because, says Chazal, any generation which the temple is not built, as if we destroyed it. That means we're still doing those averas that prevent the temple from being built, i.e., we're part of ourselves is died. We're somewhat dead as a Jewish people. And that death, we're in Avelis on Tisha B'Av. You with me? It says a very strong expression. It says, day of Tisha B'Av, ki'ilu meto mutar afanav. If you're the dead person sitting in front of him. Who's that dead person? It's you. You're an ovel on yourself. But it's an avelis with tikva. It's an avelis with desire to change. And since it's an avelis with desire to change, a recognition of what parts of us are death, therefore we're going into tshuva. But this is tshuva miyira. So av, starting with Tisha B'Av, is tshuva miyira. And elul is tshuva mi'ava. And then it becomes Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, tshuva miyira. Sukkahs, tshuva mi'ava. Always goes, yira, ava, yira, ava. It's always, it's a madrega. We go through that cycle all the time. Okay. The next one is not so clear which is the next one in the round. There's a machlokas here if it's mayim or ruach. Some places say it's ruach next and then comes mayim. That's the pashtus. But we're going to do mayim and then ruach. But it's a machlokas which one goes there. Because I'm going to explain in terms of needs rather than in terms of the soul. But in terms of the soul, my ruach comes first and then mayim. In terms of needs, the needs are associated mayim. In terms of needs, mayim is first. I'll explain to you why. Mayim, right? What does mayim represent? So Chaim Vital says the psolet of mayim, of water, right, is what? Is desires. Right? Desires in this world and desires for physical things, desires for women, right? That's what he says. That's mayim. That's the bad of mayim. So what's the good of mayim? The good of mayim is caring, loving other people, giving to other people, relationships, also your relationship with your Creator. The love for your Creator. Says the Rambam in the Hilchus Isuribiyah, right? The end of Hilchus Isuribiyah. The Rambam brings there the laws of Isuribiyah, the laws of improper connection. So at the end of those laws, the Rambam says, there can only be two thoughts in a person. All the thoughts for physical desire and women, right? Either love of those things, the infatuation, all those things. Or he says, the love of Torah and your Creator. This against this, which this is the place. And when he says only these thoughts of women, etc., is a person whose mind is panui from Torah, who's removed from Torah, right? So when a person's mind is removed from Torah, the need of this desire, which because God created us with this need, this desire for love, for loving and caring and connecting. This is in the Yisod of Mayim. So this goes to the other side. And it's a desire to connect. But it's improper connection. Connection with your wife is a good use. That's loving. Connection with Creator is a good use of Mayim. That's a proper connection. Remember, there's issues. And there's improper connection. Right? Now, so it goes desires and all these things. Now, obviously, so Mayim is referring to, in a certain sense, in the bad sense, and also in the good sense, in the emotional self. So that comes in a child. First, his physical self is built, then his emotional self is built. That's why, in terms of needs, it comes second. Yeah? But in terms of the part of your neshama which that's associated with it, that's really Bina, Bina Salev. So it's higher than Ruach. You understand? Now, why is that Mayim? Mayim has no bounds. And also, the biggest desire a person has is for water. No, if you're thirsty, right? Your desire for water is a tremendous desire. Your tsme'a. It's something you need. There's a tremendous desire for it. And even if you're not thirsty, you're just dry over here. There's a tremendous desire, more than your desire for food. Your desire for drinking is much stronger than your desire for food. When you're thirsty. You with me? So, and mayim doesn't have a gvul, doesn't have a boundary. Desires have no boundaries. When a person desires something, so there's a Gemara about Alexander Mukdom, right? That it says that he came to, he conquered the whole world. There's just one thing, there was nothing left to him to conquer. He wanted, it's Mashman Gon, he wanted to conquer the next worlds. So he like knocked on the door and asked, he said, I'm Alexander Mukdom, let me in. No, I said, this is not the place, you can't conquer there. So then they threw him out something from the next world. They threw him out an eye. And they said, wait, you know, wait, see? So he put the eye on one weighing scale, and he put all the gold, all his wealth, which was the wealth of the whole world, on the other weighing scale. And the eye weighed more than that. So what's the Gemara trying to show? The desire of a person, Alexander Mukdom, he conquered the whole world. He had the wealth of the whole world under his hands. Even if you take all the physicality of the world, your eye will never be satisfied. Mayim, the Lashon for Mayim in the Gemara, is Mayim She'en Lehem Sof. Waters don't have an end. It's the concept of desire is unending. There's no ending to a person's desire. He always wants more. When he has, he wants more. So that's why Mayim is associated with desire, because desires are unending. Mayim is also associated with Ruchnius, with spirituality, because desire to connect to your Creator is unbounding. You can't connect to something completely which is your Creator or the Torah. So the desire there is an unbounding desire. But there's a difference. That unbounding desire is a connecting to the spiritual worlds. That's connecting to man's inner self, man's pnimi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. So, or you connect spiritually to something which is unbound, or you connect Chas V'Shalom physically to something which is bound, which you can only get a bounded amount. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no bounding to how much you can get. So the desire for that, the unbounding desire for that, even though it's you cannot fully get, but it's in place, because that's an unbounded place. With desire for the physical world, which is bounded, the eye is never satisfied. Here, in the spiritual world, when a person desires to get understand Gemara, understand Ruchnius, be a better human being, whatever it is, and whatever level of desire to connect to his Creator in all three aspects, is his spiritual head, his spiritual body, his spiritual emotional self or physical self, right? Whichever aspect of self he's expressing through the mitzvahs and his other desire, because it's unbounded, so you can always be satiated. You won't be satiated, you can always find some level of satiation there and some sort of tranquility there. You understand? Water is also associated with the Torah. Just as the Torah goes to its lowest place, water goes to its lowest place. Torah goes to people who are humble, like the Torah, water goes to its lowest place. Okay. Water, like we said, doesn't have bounds. The Torah has no bounds. That's why it's expressed in terms of water. Water is also the way it's expressed, the Yetzirah, like we learned in the Gemara and Rabba Baba Chana, the waves which represent the way to Yetzirah, right? Because, like I said, desires in this world, or the Gaiva or the Taiva, remember what you're saying? There's Gaiva in Avodas Hashem, there's Taiva in the waves, the width of the wave and the height of the wave. The height of the wave represents the Gaiva, the width of the wave represents the Taiva, right? The desires in this world, right? So, waters, it's zeh keneged zeh asa Elokim. Just as we have a tremendous desire to connect, and that's through Torah, right? Through Ruchnius, spirituality. And Torah is the place in which we have that love of the Torah. It's an ishus. That's Mayim is the place where we have that connection, the emotions. The, it doesn't mean physical emotions, it means the desire, the innate desire in a person to want to connect with his creator. What makes a person Haredi? What makes a person Frum? Frum is defined by how much of a desire you have to connect with your creator. The stronger your desire to connect with creator, the frumer you are. It's not how much you know, it's how much you want to know, how much you desire to know, how much you want to connect to that. You with me? So yeshiva is not a place of just knowing Torah. I know myself, I know Gemara, I know this. No. Yeshiva is a place where you change your desire for knowledge, the thirst of knowledge. We call it the thirst. That your thirst is so great that you don't think about your physical thirsts. You know, there's people, there's big rabbis, you know, like, once they start learning, they have no clue of time, no clue of anything. They're just like, you know, they miss meals because they're so wrapped up. And it happens to us as well. Even us simple people, you know, college exams, you got an exam next to one, and you're like, your mind is so with this exam and knowing this book, you forget self, you forget to eat, you forget things. There's a koach in that desire. When there's such a strong desire in a person, he disconnects from the physical. Not because he's not physical, because that desire is so strong, he forgets things. You know, people when they're in love, right? They forget things, you know? It says, you know, like you do things which you would never have done before because you're so infatuated, you so care for the person. So that infatuation can be an infatuation to the physical. Infatuation for your wife is a good thing. Not a bad thing, it's a good thing. But that infatuation of your wife and to the Torah, which is also your wife, or to your neshama, which is also your wife, that level of infatuation, the person forgets about his physical world. That's a much higher level, you know, to get the infatuated, you know? Like, you know, the rabbi says, what do you do? Well, how is your day, rabbi? Oh, it's so many chidushim, it's so many chidushim, right? That's an infatuation. You understand what I'm saying? An infatuation with Torah. That's what we're thinking. You know, I had a friend when I was in yeshiva who went to ask Rav Shach a question in halacha. So he told me the story. He went to visit Rav Shach a long time ago, and in Bnei Brak. And he, you know, he had Kabbalah's car. You knock on the door, you get in. So he met him. He said, "Okay, come with me. I'm going to the yeshiva. Ask me a question while I'm going to the yeshiva." So he's an old, small man, right? He was a very small man, and he was walking with him. And he asked him his question, an important question about Shidduchim or whatever. I don't remember now exactly the question, but he asked him. So he finished asking the question. So Rav Shach gave an answer. And he said, you know, Shalom. And so Rav Shach was continuing walking. And the guy was standing next to him. And the guy heard the answer to the question. And he was standing next to him. Rav Shach was here, he was standing here. So he told me then, he realized he didn't ask one aspect of his question, wasn't sure about something that he asked. So he said, that's why he was standing there, he was like getting an answer and he was thinking about the question. He realized he didn't ask something. So he went back to ask Rav Shach the question. So he was standing here the whole time with Rav Shach. So then he went and asked, he opened his mouth and asked the question. As soon as he opened his mouth and asked the question, Rav Shach went like that. He was like startled, right? Why was he startled? Because he was thinking, and he didn't know this guy was standing next to him. So all of a sudden, someone who's not standing next to him, he was there, and he starts. He was like startled. Like he didn't. He was like startled, like, you know, frightened, startled. He just like he didn't expect. He didn't know there was someone over here. You understand? He was so focused in his learning. It was a different world. There was there's a big rabbi, the Badel Chaim Rukim, sort of Gurovitz, right? He's a big Talmud Chacham. Big Talmud Chacham. Yeah, Mamish is a godel. I think he's the biggest godel in Europe. Maybe even bigger than anything in America as well. He's a big person. In Eretz Yisrael, he'd be considered a very big person. So, he's in one of these old homes in Gateshead. Yes, and like I was there, walked into it, I saw him, right? Big person. He reminded me very much of Rav Shmuel. God. Very warm person. Such a beautiful person, unbelievable. You feel such a tremendous thing when you see him. Anyway, so it's told the stories. I asked the boys, they tell me stories. It says, you know, in London it rains. So often they would find Rav Guzman walking out of his house with an umbrella. And it was sunny outside. He's holding up his umbrella, walking to the yeshiva. And then the Bochrim on the way saying, "Rabbi, it's not raining." So he says, "Oh, I didn't know." He puts his umbrella down. Because he's thinking, you know, left the house, thinking, learning. He's walking to the yeshiva. Normally, he raises London. So he puts the umbrella up. Not in London, I mean, Gates, not in London. But in England, it rains. Especially, you know. They're a different world. They're infatuated. That's a level. We have to get to that level where we're infatuated with Ruchnis. That's what Gemara says. Since the Gemara says, Talmidei Chachamim, you don't make them Rosh Ha'ir. You don't put them to be in charge of everything. Why do you put them to be in charge? Like, organize things. Because the Gemara says, Toru Begirsa. They're thinking about their learning the whole time. Right? I mean, they're infatuated. You want a guy, someone to organize something? If he's infatuated, right? He's not going to be an organizer. He's going to forget this, forget that, forget that. He's just thinking about his learning the whole time. That's what it should be. That's what it means to be a Talmud Chacham, that you're infatuated with your learning. It doesn't mean how much Torah you know. It means how much you want to know, how much desiring. Just as Rabbeinu Yonah says it. Rabbeinu says the same word. Eizehu Chacham in Pirkei Avos. Who's a Chacham? Halomed mikol adam, someone who learns from everyone. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, someone who's looking for emes, who mechafes, he has a simaon for emes. He wants truth. That makes you into a chacham. The more you're infatuated for looking for truth, the bigger chacham you are. Not how much truth you have, it's how much you want it. So that makom for that, that's mayim. Mayim can go with desires, women, or Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Zeh k'neged zeh asa Elokim, but that's the makom. You with me? Now, when you have a person who, Glaz explains this, it's called love and belonging. Because he's explaining in terms of love means the need for warmth, right? That's the desire, right? The need for connection. It means proper connection. And belonging means to connect to the people around you, right? So, for example, Chassidim, a Chassid who belongs to a Chassidus, a small Chassidus rather than a big Chassidus, there's a lot of belonging in that. There's a lot of warmth there. Right? So, that's called belonging. You want to belong to a group of people, you want to look like them, you want to dress like them. And then there's love. You want a deep personal connection with someone. That's love. Right? So, you can understand how that comes from Mayim. That's this concept. Now, when you have, and I just put them together a little bit, when you have high in survival, physical needs, and remember, a survival need is to procreate, and you are needy of warmth, of love, you're needy of those things, a person will be needy of touch. You understand? Now, there'll be, so that means if you're high in the need of love, and you're high in the need of survival, so now there's two ways you can get that. If you get it in the proper way, with your wife, and with connecting to Kodesh Baruch Hu, when I say touch, you'll notice that in your davening, right? The davening will be something different. Do you want to connect? And your learning will be very emotional. Those are people who, by Judaism, if you're needy of warmth and you're needy of survival, what do? You give warmth, right? You give survival needs. So, and fixing of survival is what? Simcha. Simcha means a peace inside yourself that you won't need physical things around you so completely. Because there's a peace within you. There's a self-concept. There's a belief in who you are, an important person. You understand? And the warmth need, by giving warmth to other people, by caring for other people, you'll get that. In psychology, Lahavdil, they will tell you, you need to look after your health, you need to eat well, you have to get your survival needs. You have to get your warmth in marriage, you have to connect with more women, or get, do things, right? That's wrong. Because if you disconnect in these places, you go to the bad part, that'll bring you to the bad part of survival, which is Atzvah, Sivogi, which is Simcha. You understand? So that's the difference between psychology and Judaism. And in terms of marriage also, this book, he speaks about marriage as well. He always speaks about you have needs, your wife has needs. So if your needs, like, say she needs warmth and you need warmth, both of you need it. So how are you going to, so you have to come in a middle ground somewhere. We don't say that. We say you have to give warmth. You have to give survival needs. You understand? You have to be besimcha. You have to give. You have to take the bad side and invert it to the good side. Right?